if one just look at the end of September, at the end of September, medical schemes spent more than 10 billion rand less than they had in the previous year. Those numbers were released, you know, this week, of course. The extra surplus that has been created could all by itself likely cover the entire vaccination bill for South Africa. So to talk to you about this in more detail, we've got, I can now call him venerable journalist, Philip de Wet. How's it? How have you been? Are you well?
I am well and healthy, thank you.
This is a good thing, sir. A very good thing. So give us the layman's guide into medical aid schemes and why they seem to be sitting on a pile of cash that could get us those vaccinations.
Well, we get great data out of medical schemes because the Council for Medical Schemes publishes data, aggregated data across all of the schemes on a quarterly basis. So we don't get to see Discovery Health's numbers on an ongoing basis, but we get the snapshot overall. And normally this is quite boring because medical schemes are quite boring. They take money, they, you know, work very carefully with it. They make sure that they have their reserves. Things tend to go really well and quite predictably with medical schemes in South Africa. Then we had this mega event, which meant that we were all worried about healthcare expenditure and about the overall impact on the health system and, you know, doctors and nurses and hospitals not coping. But the flip side of that coin, and you could see that almost immediately, was that people simply didn't go to doctors. People who didn't absolutely have to did not go to their GPs. People who were booked in for procedures that could be postponed did. And medical expenditure as a whole started dropping. And we saw that in terms of numbers from doctors and from hospitals. Now we're starting to see that lagging data come in. So what the Council for Medical Schemes published this week is data up to the end of September. And now we've got, you know, now we've got kind of half a year of 2020's overall numbers. And it's huge. I mean, if you look at the graph, it just kind of plummets down in terms of the spending that they have refunded to people. So overall for the year up to September, there's about 10 billion rand that normally would have been spent by medical schemes that simply wasn't paid out, that simply it did not flow out of their coffers. And there's been a slight uptick to September. So between June and September, people started going a little bit to the doctor again, and there were a couple of elective procedures. But it's still quite low. And given the additional lockdown measures in December and people being genuinely concerned about the virus and its impact again, we suspect it will remain kind of flat into December. Yep. And then into this year.
What would we need to do to get them to pay for it then if the money is available, which is the next logical question? You know, is there a way? I know government's been talking about it, but how would we leverage that capital?
It's a very difficult question, morally, ethically, and legally speaking. Keep in mind, this belongs to the members. The core of the medical scheme is a non-profit fund, which is owned by its members, and this money is held in trust. There are logistical questions, which people are raising, saying, is this deferred spending, or is the spending that's gone forever? In other words, should medical schemes hang on to that money because they're going to need it later when people have these procedures that they don't? There are questions being asked morally and ethically, saying, should medical schemes hang onto this money so that their members can effectively pay lower rates into the future? You know, should those savings go back? First we need to figure out if we want them to. If we do want them to pay for it, there are a couple of legal mechanisms. The smartest one, I think, that's been raised is to simply charge medical schemes a hell of a lot of money for vaccines. What we have is a mechanism called the single exit pricing, where the government basically set the price of medicine. The government can say, we're charging 10, 20, or 50 times the actual value of the vaccines, and by overcharging medical schemes, we can pull that money into government and pay for everyone else's vaccines.
Why aren't you working with Tito? Because, I mean, we look at the options that they've put forward. One of it is taxation, which I think would be suicide, quite frankly. I don't think there's anything left to give. We're going to be taking most of the money from, you know, a handful of people who are fortunate enough to have the money and pay taxes, obviously. Is anybody seriously considering that, though, Philip?
We don't think so, no. It's been floated as an idea, and it is an option, and it is a way to widen the tax net. But as best we can tell, it is politically untenable in the current situation. If you look at the two options, would it be politically more tenable to have people contributing to medical aids effectively cover it? Well, people would certainly be angry. Look, people are going to be angry no matter where the money comes from.
Yeah.
But maybe this is a slightly easier option. Unfortunately, you know, for the government, part of the question at the moment is not so much the politics of the situation as the speed and the efficiency. How quickly can we get our hands on the money, and how can we do it without losing a lot of money? Taxes, for instance, are a relatively inefficient way to get your hands on money. It costs a lot of money to get taxes in. Whereas simply getting medical aid schemes to pay for it, well, you know, that might be slightly easier, especially if they don't go to court to fight it, because that for them might be politically untenable.
No, absolutely. But there was talk not too long ago about government approaching the medical aids directly to buy vaccines for their members.
And that is almost certainly what will happen. As things stand at the moment, government is very clear. Government, only government, will procure vaccines and bring them into the country, and everyone else will get them from there. And one way or the other, or whatever the direct distribution mechanism is, the medical aids will get it from government. So that will be the case. We know there are many discussions underway, for instance, about the practicalities of the extent to which medical aids can help administer those, you know, using their infrastructure and their networks and so on to help administer that. And there's kind of this handshake agreement that at least a third of the total cost of vaccinations will be covered by some combination of medical aid schemes and large corporations. So all of that is pretty much a done deal. But we still have this rather large funding gap for the rest of South Africa.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem that everyone is struggling with right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. With our tax rate at the moment, having a discussion with someone going, is it actually worthwhile earning more money? Because, you know, you end up going into another tax bracket, and unless you're earning significantly more to make up for what that tax rate it's going to be, sometimes it's not worth earning more money because you end up getting less out. It's just putting it out there. But, Philip, great chatting to you, sir. Always great. Good to know that you're healthy and well. Journalist with Business Insider. So your calls this morning are 021-446-0567. What's your medical aid been like? So I went to hospital, spent some time there. Then I get a bill for 10,000 Rand for in-hospital. Like, what the heck? You try and phone Health Square. Do you think they answer their phone? No. Do you think they respond to emails? No, Health Square doesn't.